This is live special coverage of the solar eclipse from NPR News. I'm Robin Young in Boston.
And I'm Scott Tong in Washington, D.C. But the place to be right now is Muncie, Indiana, where totality is. And joining us is Scott Newman, NPR Scott Newman. Scott, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
What do you? First of all, can you ask people around you to quiet down because you're on the radio? Scott, what are you looking at?
Yeah, what we are looking at is just we're moments from totality right now, and it's been a festive atmosphere here all day, really, and now people are kind of starting to quiet down. The moment is really here. It's getting quite dark. Mm-hmm. It's several degrees cooler than it was. And yeah, just as we're speaking now, it's really coming in.
Is it a clear picture for you? I mean, can you see up and see it very? Can you see it very clearly?
Here it comes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Here it comes. Here it comes. Let's hear it.
We're definitely. You can hear that we're getting there.
Let's hear it. Oh man.
You know. I think as many people as are enjoying it.
Can see it's the classic eclipse photo that everybody has seen. It's pretty amazing, really.
Come on, Scott. How's this feeling? What's happening in your chest?
Say again?
I said, what's happening in your chest?
I'm sorry. I can't really hear you. It's just... The noise in the crowd is just so much.
You know what, Scott? Can you hold your phone out? Just let us hear for a second. Just hold your phone out.
Sure. Some fireworks going off in the background. It's completely dark. I mean, it's just like, you know, dusk.
Wow.
You know, Scott, we're asking you to do a lot of things. Hold up your phone, explain what's going on, but explain what's happening with you. How are you feeling as you observe this, Scott?
This is my first total eclipse. I saw a partial eclipse as a kid, but it's pretty amazing. It's really, I mean, I'm looking straight up right now and without eclipse glasses.
Because you can.
And it is just spectacular. I understand now from talking to other people here who have been chasing eclipses why they do it.
The Umbrophiles. Because what? Can you put it in words? I mean, people try and fail, but can you put it in words?
Well, it's like, I guess it's like a kind of like a diamond ring in the sky. It's you can see the shimmering corona around the edges. I think I can see Bailey's bead, one of Bailey's beads, that kind of effect that you get right around the terminator on the moon. And it is just, it's spectacular. I do apologize that words fail me, but it really is.
No, you join millions. Well, I mean, what are you seeing? Scott has asked this, and it's such a great question. What are you seeing in the faces around you before we go to another reporter who's also in Indiana and getting this full experience? What are you seeing in the faces?
The people are just, I mean, I think everybody's just astounded. People are pointing. People are trying to take cell phone photos, which is a little bit difficult. It's possible, but I mean, kids are really rapt. It's amazing, really. I mean, people really are in awe.
Well, Scott Newman, kind of lost for words. That actually tells us a lot. Yes. NPR correspondent on NPR's Enterprise desk, and he's in Muncie, Indiana. Scott, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
And we're going to go now to someone else in Indiana. Ethan Sandweiss is with WFIU News, Indiana Public Media in Bloomington. Ethan, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
What are you seeing?
So the totality just ended here. It's still a little bit dim. There's this kind of uncanny orange light over everything. Just a couple minutes ago, when the sun was in totality, there was this orange glow over the horizon, almost as if it was sunset. But I could still see everything clearly. It got cool. This has been one of the first warm days of the season. But I'm here at the lake right now, Lake Monroe, and there's all kinds of people here, all kinds of families. People cheered when the eclipse reached totality, but then during that 4 minutes, it was very quiet. People just sat
really?
And they watched.
Oh,
yes.
Really? Because we've been hearing, you know, just this, you know, outpouring of screams of astonishment and joy, you know, elsewhere. But they were what you say quiet, like in what? You know, awe, reverence, what?
I think reverence was the word that came to mind for me. I think maybe because it's a smaller crowd here, we were expecting people at the lake today. It's still a few hundred, but I think because it's more spread out, people are in smaller groups with their families. It just was a moment of like pretty incredible stillness.
You know, what happens now? Because we've heard from others who've been through this that, you know, it's of course it's going into a partial eclipse as the moon is leaving, and that's the kind of thing that brings out millions. But after the full eclipse, there's almost like a, I have to catch my breath, I need to go now or something. Like, what happens now?
That's a good question. It seems like a lot of people are checking back in with their families. They're looking at their phones. They're debriefing, as it were, with each other about what just happened. I'm actually here with a family that came from Ohio. Josh Darling came with his family. Josh, could you tell us a little bit about what you experienced?
It was amazing. It was pure wild. It was unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
First time I'd ever seen it.
Josh, can you tell us?
For years.
Josh, can you tell us?
Oh,
there went Josh. We would love to. We would ask Josh another question. It's okay.
He's still here.
Yeah. So Josh, okay. You know, did you ever feel unsettled? Like, you know, the sun is going. What the heck? I mean, did you feel unsettled by it at all?
No, I did not. I kind of knew what to expect because my mother had seen one back in 2017, and she kind of told me what to expect. But it was nothing like what I imagined it would have been.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Well, Josh and Scott, thank you so much to both of you for helping us understand it. And we're going to move now, I think, to Abby Marshall in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, we are. We and also thank you to Ethan Sandweiss of Indiana Public Media. Thanks. As we go over to Abby Marshall in Cleveland, Abby, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
What's
can
happening?
You hear me?
Yes, what's happening?
Well, I'm going to hold my phone out, and you can hear. We just reached totality, and I am at Progressive Field right now for the Guardians opening day. And we just have totality, and people are cheering very loudly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have to ask you about how clear it is. My spouse is a few miles south of you on the turnpike now, stopping to watch. But how cloudy or not is it?
It is not cloudy. We got blessed with a sunny day in Cleveland. Well, now not so sunny. But I just took off my eclipse glasses, and I see the ring around the sun. That is beautiful.
Well, describe it further. I mean, we've been hearing it, but everybody has a different way of describing it. A big Oreo in the sky. It looks like a lens cover, you know, that slips down over the lens. What? Describe it.
It's unlike anything I've ever seen. I've only seen a partial eclipse in 2017. Honestly, just seeing nighttime during the day is very jarring. And everyone, it's cool to experience it in such a large crowd of people on a day that's already so important to Cleveland, which is the Guardians opening day. We are coming off of a very busy weekend. We had the NCAA Women's Final Four here this weekend.
Of course.
We had the Cleveland International Film Fest this weekend. So there's just a huge convergence of events happening, and great to feel that excitement.
By the way, I'm seeing it right now on CNN, Cleveland, Ohio, witnessing the total solar eclipse. Look at that. Can you describe when the dark came in? I'm kind of obsessed with that. This curtain of darkness that comes as the shadow comes towards you. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I felt it. And I was staring up at the sun with the glasses, which are obviously quite dark. So when the moment came when I was just seeing the ring around the sun, it was pretty incredible to take off the glasses and feel like, you know, it's the middle of the night. I'm at the field. I've been here for games in the evenings before, and it kind of feels like that. But looking down at the clock and seeing it's 3:15 and chatting with you all during the day, it's pretty amazing. And there are just so many folks here hours before the first pitch even happens, experiencing it.
Abby, just in a couple seconds, tell us how you're feeling as you observe this. I understand you saw a partial eclipse from Athens, Ohio in the past, but this is your first total solar eclipse, yeah?
This is my first total solar eclipse, and, you know, we won't have one in Cleveland for another 400 or so years. So It's a really once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah, well, here. Abby Marshall in Cleveland with IdeaStream. Thank you so much. Enjoy the ballpark. Enjoy the experience as we come back to Richard Harris in the studio at NPR in Washington, D.C. And, Richard, explain a little bit. We've heard many people talk about these Bailey's beads. What are they?
Right. They are a phenomenon that when the moon first comes across the sun, for a little while you see these bright spots around the edges. And what that is actually is the edge of the moon is not perfectly smooth, and so what you're seeing is a little bit of the roughness from the edge of the moon, so some light still is able to get through around the roughness of the moon for a little while, and then as the moon fully covers, then those disappear as well. The other thing I've been noticing is some solar flares and a lot of glow from the corona. Now, this is a different eclipse from 2017 in the sense that the sun is much more active now than it was. The sun has an 11-year cycle of it gets the solar wind and the solar corona and so on becomes much more active, and the sunspots too, and sort of waxes and wanes over a 7-year period. And
so in this cycle, the sun right now is in a more intense moment of its cycle.
Exactly, it's right. It's a high moment for the sun right now. It can also interfere with radio communications and satellites if you get a really bad solar storm, which is more likely at this when the solar cycle is really high. But you can just visually see it as such a wonderful ability to be able to say, look up at an eclipse and say, wow, I can not just intellectually think about the solar cycle, but have a sense that, wow, I can really see some serious activity up there. So that's been really fun to watch.
Well, you're a science journalist. You're sitting here in the studio. We're not seeing it, but how are you experiencing this? You're hearing everybody talk about it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful experience. And I must say it is going really fast because, we've only been in the studio for an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. And it has crossed most of North America.
It's almost in New England.
Yeah, it is phenomenal to just think about the scale of everything as we watch that.
Richard Harris, thank you. We'll get back. This is live special coverage of the solar eclipse from NPR News. I'm Scott Tong in Washington, D.C., alongside Robin Young in Boston, who has stepped away from her chair to go see it herself. So she'll be back in a moment. For now, I believe we have Ava Pukech available. She's with WVRO in Syracuse. Ava, you with us?
Yes, I am. And we are moments away from totality here in Syracuse.
Remind us where you are. What a great place you're in to watch this.
I'm at the Syracuse Rosamond Gifford Zoo, and all day long the clouds had looked more and more dire for kind of ruining this eclipse experience. Mm-hmm. But just like a couple of minutes ago, this opening came open in the clouds. Everyone was cheering because we were able to start seeing the eclipse again, and it's almost entirely covered. And it kind of almost feels with the cloud coverage and the temperature dropping as it gets darker, it kind of feels like right before a rainstorm, where you kind of feel that coolness come. But the clouds aren't dark because it's going to rain. The clouds are dark because the moon's covering the sun, and we're able to see this small slither left as everyone's just getting more and more antsy.
And at the zoo, have you observed anything yet? Any interesting, different behavior from the creatures by you?
Yeah, so I'm still hanging out with the elephants, and I'm watching them kind of start to walk up towards the gate. The sky is really getting dark right now. It like feels like all of a sudden it just dropped and that we're about to hit total darkness. There's not a lot of like street lights in this area of the zoo, so we should get a pretty dark period of time. But I'm watching the elephants, they're making their way up toward the gate. They think it's dinner time because the sky is just so, so dark right now. It feels like it's a rainstorm. People are getting really excited.
Exciting. Let me ask you about the temperature. I've read that in some places it can drop as many as 14 degrees. Is it feeling chillier?
It is feeling really chilly, and a little light just came on. Everyone just jeered and booed the light. One guy is trying to put his jacket over it to make it more of a dark experience. I've been chatting with father and son, Ernie and Max Wexel. Max is 11, and he's been telling me all about the science of the eclipse. He wants to be an astrophysicist, so I can let you talk to him a little bit about what he's been seeing, because the sky is pretty much pitch black right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Hey, Max.
Totality. Hello?
Hi, Max. Yeah, we're talking to you, Max?
I can't hear anything.
Oh, okay. Sorry, tell me your name again. I can hear you.
Hi?
Hey, this is Scott Tong in Washington, D.C. Can you hear me okay? I hear the screaming.
I can't hear anything.
Yeah, tell me what you're seeing.
We're having some trouble hearing.
Okay.
Here. But we're in totality right now. We can see this ring around the sun, and it kind of feels like a halo on the sky right now with the clouds. I know the clouds have been kind of deterring our experience, but it feels a little bit like we're looking at this halo of light around the cloud, or on the sun, peeking through the clouds, just pure darkness right now. We're supposed to have about a minute and a half here in Syracuse, and everyone's cheering, taking photos.
Just, oh my goodness!
So darkness from everywhere visible because we're not by the streetlights, so it's not getting light pollution kind of hitting into our eclipse experience.
But oh, wonderful!
Folks
that
are
is,
just so excited.
Enjoy. Ava Pukach is in Syracuse, New York with WRVO. Ava, thanks to you for joining us a couple times. We're going to go now to Essex Junction, Vermont, and Here and Now's own James Mastromarino, our producer. James, how are you?
Hey, Scott, doing well. We've
got, what do you
see? This glowing fingernail in the sky. Totality is moments away.
And what do you see around you as you kind of observe the people?
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard screams from other parts of America. What are you seeing from the crowd?
Well, I'm in Essex Junction, and it's just to the east of Burlington, where crowds have been converging for days now, and hotels have been going for upwards of $600 a night. We crammed into this suburban home. Eight of us stayed overnight in a household that normally has three, so that's 11, and more are on the streets right now. It got noticeably colder, as Ava mentioned. The wind is picking up, and it's getting darker as I speak. Very dusky, and there's very little left of the ring around the sun. So in moments, I can take off these special glasses and actually experience totality for the first time in my life.
Yeah, first time. How's it feel?
Oh, man, you know, I missed it in 2017. I was on the opposite side of the world in New Zealand when it hit the United States. I'm kind of quivering as I speak to you now. Mm. I mean, so many of us came from long distances. I came up from D.C., a crowded Amtrak that delivered dozens of people. And Vermont just got 18 inches of snow, which really complicated all of the travel that has been here.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then there are others that are trying to get even further east because cloud cover is a problem right now as I speak. But
James, you know,
I'm hoping that it dissipates a bit.
We have heard people kind of describe the darkness. I mean, it's not like night dark, is it? I mean, as it's getting dark, is it more like a twilight thing?
It's like a twilight. And it's eerie, of course, because it's, you know, in the middle of the afternoon on what was an unseasonably warm day. Oh, man, what was, as I described, a fingernail is now a pinprick. And it's dissipating. It's gone. We're in totality right now. We can see the corona. Oh, my word. People are shouting. even the clouds aren't really spoiling the atmosphere here.
James, compose yourself as you talk to Robin Young. Go ahead, Robin.
And those beads. Hi, Robin. Hi.
James, it's so great. Am I on the air?
You are, Robin. What are you seeing?
Hey, James, hold on one second. Hey, WBUR, we're on the radio. Yeah. So I'm out with our colleagues at WBUR in Boston. It's like 92%, you know, coverage here. So we're seeing that same sliver of a fingernail. It's like on the left. It's like a thin, thin crescent. And that's what the partial eclipse looks like. But, James, I heard you say you were quivering. Tell me more. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I'm basically trembling, and a chorus of happy birthdays has broken out here because one of our number is turning 34 today, and what a way to celebrate. Everyone is looking up to the sky. I hope I didn't spoil the mystical mood that people were also hoping to have here. But yeah, we can see the corona. We can see little beads of light on the edge of the sun, or I guess the moon.
There
is some cloud cover, so we can't see all the wisps coming out from it, however.
James, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go just a little bit north of you to Waitsfield, Vermont, where my cousin Peggy is. I just want to check in with her for a second. I think we have Peggy Lyons at her daughter Meg's house. My cousin's in Waitsfield, Vermont. Peggy, you there?
I'm him. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's happening? What are you seeing?
It's unbelievable. It's got very dusky, and there's a silver light, and we now have totality, and we took our glasses off, and it's just unbelievable sight. Wow.
We should say some know Cousin Peg, because every Thanksgiving, Cousin Peg, we go with you and your late dad and go looking for the snow geese. He would love this moment. But also, you got a little guy with you, Connor. How's he liking it?
What do you think, Connor? He nods. He's nodding his head with a smile. What'd you say?
Yeah.
He's 4 and a half. So this is. Hopefully, he'll remember this.
Well, tell us more about it, Peg, because, you know, you've made leggings with eclipses on them, and you've done all sorts of tie-dye with eclipse, and there's something it feels like you're trying to get your hands on with this. Tell us about it.
It's surreal. It's about to go. Mm-hmm. It's just a phenomenal experience. I've seen a few partial eclipses, but this... you know, there was so much about this on the news, and I was sort of it'll happen. But this is amazing. It's the sun's coming back now, and like I heard somebody say, it's transcendental, and it certainly is very otherworldly.
Yeah, it transcends. By the way, I just want to tell Scott, I just want to tell Cousin Peg one thing.
Yeah.
One of your cousins, I won't name her name, but she's a younger cousin, just has gone to the hospital, and she's having a baby.
Okay. Hooray.
We are up
I'll
with the news.
I'll fill you in later. It's a big day.
We are
day.
Up with the
it's
news on our live special
enjoy
coverage.
Yourself.
Thank you, Cousin Peg. Thank you, Robin. Got a minute here to come back to Richard Harris here in the studio. You know, a lot of Americans are only going to see a partial eclipse. Tell us a little bit more what that experience is.
Yeah, well, we saw one here in 2017 in Washington, D.C., and it's fun because you can see a big bite out of the sun. But what you don't get is all of this excitement about the total darkness and the temperature dropping, all of the kind of really wild stuff that we've been hearing. The sense that if you can position yourself correctly, that you can see the shadow race across the landscape. That does not happen in a partial eclipse. And even if the sun is mostly blocked out more than 90%, it doesn't get darker. It doesn't feel that different. So so it's something you have to know to look. And you can use glasses, or you can poke a pinhole in a piece of cardboard or something like that to see what it looks like. But it is a very different experience. And I understand why so many people rushed to the line of the total eclipse in order to see the total and get that very different experience. And happily, it seems as though the weather was better than a lot was forecast.
It's been amazing. And maybe if we have time, I understand sometimes the eclipse can have clouds vanish, but we'll ask it after this break. You're listening to live special coverage from NPR News.
This is live special coverage of the solar eclipse from NPR News. I'm Robin Young, back in the studio in Boston.
And I'm Scott Tong in the studio in Washington, D.C. Alongside an explainer, Richard Harris is with us, a longtime NPR science correspondent. Richard, we have a couple minutes to ask you a little bit more about what's going on here. So many people across the country have said, boy, it's clear, or it's suddenly cleared. Is there a potential explanation here that when an eclipse happens, the clouds can vanish?
Yeah, that can certainly be a factor. I think it'll be interesting to hear what the Weather Service has to say about this, whether the clouds actually had dissipated and their forecast, which was pretty gloomy, was maybe unnecessarily gloomy. Or it is possible that as the temperature drops, you'll get local weather effects within the band of that area. And so you could actually get the lower level clouds clearing out to some extent as the temperature drops, as we've been hearing people describe. So that may be going on. That may be why some people are getting better skies than they had been expecting.
Yeah, we have a lot of Americans who, perhaps got more than they bargained for. A lot of people had low expectations given the forecasts, and here we are. Very obvious question. I mean, so many Americans have looked at this kind of strip on the map of this path of totality. Why is it so skinny?
It's skinny because it's, of course, the moon's shadow being cast on the Earth, and you can't get it too wide.
Otherwise, the moon shadow is only so big.
Yeah, the moon shadow is only so big. But okay. What's interesting is this is a longer than normal eclipse, and that's because when people figure out how long the eclipse will be and how wide the path will be, they have to look at where the moon is in relation to the Earth, because sometimes its orbit is not perfectly circular, so sometimes it's closer and sometimes it's farther away, and the closer it is, the bigger a shadow it casts. Likewise, the sun is also not always exactly the same distance from the Earth because our orbit is somewhat electrical. So as a result, you have these multiple effects, and they pour that into the effects. And what you end up doing is ending up with this weird situation where you can have distant, longer or shorter periods of time to observe the eclipse. And this is a particularly good one, almost four and a half minutes at the longest.
So
we were fortunate that the moon was relatively close this time, and that extended the time for the eclipse.
Robin.
Yeah, you know what we want to do? We want to go to Patty White, who's with Maine Public Radio. Patty, do I understand you're in Houlton, Maine?
That's correct. In Houlton, Maine, it's a border town with Canada. Sure.
Yeah, this is the county seat for Aroostook County, where there's usually more potatoes than people, but thousands have come. We spoke to people from Houlton as they were getting ready for this. How did it turn out? How many have come? What's going on?
The estimates were about 10 to 20,000 people came here. I don't think the town downtown felt quite as crowded as people thought, because they really spread out across several designated star parks to watch the eclipse. But it's been a really beautiful day here, unexpected in Maine. We just had a snowstorm a few days ago. So the fact that we have this really beautiful sunny day, people are just in a really good mood. And we just saw the incredible eclipse.
And what was the response there in Houlton? Because we know I know there are thousands of Flatlanders there, people who come up from outside Maine. But we spoke to so many people who worked their hearts out to, almost like they were putting on this show. So how did it go for the town?
It went really well for the town. I've spoken to some ambassadors, volunteer ambassadors, who've been walking around and talking to people. And they said, everyone has just said that this town, Houlton, has been so welcoming. A lot of people have said, wow, I want to come back here, which is exactly what Houlton wants to hear. It's just been a really great experience from what people have been saying.
Yeah, we know churches were making beans and chowder to hand out to people. You mentioned the ambassadors. They worked so hard. So, congratulations to everybody there. Patty White, again, a reporter with Maine Public up there in Houlton, Maine. It is the end of the road of the East Coast. So, Patty, thank you.
Thank you.
And you're listening to live special coverage from NPR News. This is live special coverage of the solar eclipse from NPR News. I'm Robin Young in Boston.
And I'm Scott Tong in Washington, D.C. And we have with us on the line now journalist Melanie Peoples in Conway, Arkansas. Melanie, you with us?
Oh, yes, I am.
And I can hear the action behind you. I understand you and your family experienced totality not long ago. Take a breath. How do you process what you just saw?
I mean, you really do have to take a breath. If you've never experienced an eclipse, I mean, if you ever have the opportunity to do, it's hard to explain, but it was just amazing. We're on campus at the University of Central Arkansas, and the people here, they gathered in many places around town, but we went to the stadium, and so there was 100 yards of people, everyone sitting there sharing in this moment together. It began to get dark, it got cooler, it was a sunset in 306 degrees. The way that when you normally look to the west and you see the sunset in an eclipse, it's that way all the way around. And then everyone just got quiet, and it was, it's an amazing moment. There just aren't that many times in the world today where you really, all of humanity feels like we're experiencing this wonderful thing together. I mean, I actually teared up. It was so moving. My son is here with me.
Max, can you put him on?
Yep.
Yeah, he's right here.
Hello.
Hey, Max, this is Scott Tong in Washington, D.C. Your mom said she teared up. Maybe other people around you teared up. How about you?
Me, I was... I was just amazed looking up. I saw just, it got incredibly dark, as my mom just said. I just look around me and everyone got quiet, and I've just never seen really colors that in that way. Just, it was like sort of silvery, the area around the eclipse, and it was just amazing.
At the period of totality, did you keep your glasses on? Did you take them off to look?
At the period of totality, I got to take them off and just look up, and it was amazing.
Yeah, and when you mentioned colors, tell me anything more you remember about the colors.
It was sort of silvery, which I was not expecting, and it was weird just seeing where usually there's a bright ball in the sky, just nothing.
It's almost like colors got liquidy, right? Is that how it seemed to you?
It sort of felt more fluid than it usually feels.
Well, Max, we understand you're a big science guy, and you brought sun chips. There was a sun chip sale today, right, that they only for 4 minutes or something you get certain sun chips, and moon pies, we call them whoopie pies in New England, which they look like the moon, the disc going across. Obviously, this is one of the biggest events in human history. But what's the pull for you?
Well, my family, we just have like this thing every eclipse. We get a moon pie and a sun chip, and like we cover them as like what's actually happening in the sky, and we just find it kind of funny.
Well, there's that. But I mean, just the idea of seeing this extraordinary thing. Why is it of such interest to you? What questions do you have? Why?
I kind of sort of wonder how do people in ancient times think about this? Were they scared?
Yeah.
I wonder just what they felt about it.
Yeah, I think just sitting here today, I mean, to get to Arkansas, we went through a lot of agrarian farmland, and all I could do was sit here and just imagine just way back when one of the, you know, ancestors out there just going about his day when all of a sudden it began to get dark, and he must have been frightened.
Yeah.
And so happy when it came back.
Exactly. It was a miracle. It was a miracle.
Yeah.
And we talk about Native Americans, you know, part of their history is that Tecumseh's brother, I think it was, there were white governor and president who were trying to take land away from the Native Americans. And they said, well, we won't do this land grab if, in fact, you can make the sun stand still.
Yeah.
And he predicted a solar eclipse and it stood still. It's like, I have to wonder about things like that. There's wonder to this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, here we are in the Bible Belt. And when it happened, I heard people behind me to the left saying, you know, is there any doubt that God does this when he created the universe? And there was a father and his children to the side of me. And when it was over and everyone could speak again, his kid must have asked him something, because the dad says, well, there's another one in 2 years in Spain, and I couldn't help but wonder, there's another family hooked.
Well, and also the question of God is a terrific one to get us back to Bruce Feiler. Thank you guys so much. It was just terrific to speak with both of you, Melanie Peoples and her 16-year-old Max. Keeping an eye on him, Melanie. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And let's bring in Bruce Feiler, author of so many books on what the heck is going on here, you know, when it comes to spirituality. That's your genre, Bruce. You know, and we started a little while back. You're at the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens. We started a little while back talking about the spirituality about this, but there's a secular spirituality.
Right, and I think that what I've been thinking here, 10,000 people have come to the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens where I am right now, and I've been thinking about the sun, right? And so what is the role of the sun? What do we use sun for, among other things? It's how we tell time, right? Think of people on their birthday saying, you know, another year around the sun. And what has just happened is we've all lost the sun for a period of time, right? So in effect, we have stepped into time outside of time, a special time. And I'm working right now, you've been kind enough to mention my books. I'm working on a book now about ritual. And ritual is when we mark time outside of time, and it's usually for something that's personal, like a wedding or the birth of a child or the loss of a loved one. But this one, this time outside of time, we are all experiencing it together at the same time. I mean, 10,000 people have come here. You could have seen this on your street, your backyard, the top of your apartment building, but we come together because when we go through these moments of wonder, as you've been saying, the miracle, the unusual, the time outside of time, we want to be with other people. And that, to me, is such a takeaway here. The thing that's most struck me being here today is the glasses, right? We can't do this on our own. We need the help of the glasses, and in effect, we need the help of the others, the science and the poetry, right? The numbers and the words. It's both together. It's this astronomical event, but ultimately it's a human event. And we're the ones who give it the meaning that it needs and that each of us wants to take from it.
Yeah, Bruce, hi. It's Scott Tong in Washington, D.C. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thank you for having me.
You know, I wanted to ask you about storytelling. I mean, you are an author, and you write about the books that you read. As I was researching this, it struck me how often eclipses are in storytelling over time. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's Shakespeare, Stephen King, Mark Twain, the Connecticut Yankee, and King Arthur's Court.
I loved that book as a child.
Yeah, and how is it that eclipses work their ways into the stories we tell about ourselves, our relationship with nature, our relationship with the world?
The thing about storytelling is, you know, that we have been thinking about storytelling for thousands of years, and we still don't know a lot about what is it that makes a story. But here's the one thing that we know. It's that a single event is not a story, right? So a snowball is not a story, okay? A bloody nose is not a story, but a snowball and a bloody nose, now we got a story. What happened? What is the connection? And the same thing today, like the sun isn't doing anything special. It's just going about its day, so to speak. It makes day, right? The moon is not doing anything special. It's just going about its night or whatever it's going about, right? But it's the intersection of the two that creates the story, and it's the unusualness. Like, if you think about your day, like you go off and you have a 12-hour day and you come back and you tell someone that you live with about your day, you don't do all 12 hours. You pick the unusual. What's new? What's the news? So this is a bit of news.
Right.
This is a bit of specialness. That's what makes it a story.
And Bruce, I want to make sure we've saved, and we have to do this right now, a moment, for a song that you want us to play. It's from Bessie Smith, one of the pioneers of American folklore from your home state, Georgia. It's a song called Once There Was No Sun. We have it recorded by Alan Lomax. We want to, you know, play it. But as we do, just can you in 10 seconds tell us why?
Because it's the story we've heard over and over again in these conversations. She sees it as a spiritual event, and she goes back to the beginning of time when there was no sun, when there was no light. And for her, in those moments, angels come out. They are the deliverers of the special messages, of the special stories.
Bruce Feiler, thank you. Everyone who joined us today, thank you. Scott Tong in Washington, Robin Young in Boston, for live special coverage from NPR News. Let's listen to Bessie Smith.
Once there was no sun, Lordy, I heard angels singing. Oh, once there was no moon.
This is live special coverage of the solar eclipse from NPR News. I'm Scott Tong in Washington, D.C.
I'm Robin Young in Boston, and we want to wrap up this extraordinary day with some reflections, right? It went so fast.
Oh, my goodness.
We've got former NPR science reporter Richard Harris with Scott there in Washington, and Alyssa Goodman, the Robert Wheeler Wilson Professor of Applied Astronomy at Harvard University and principal investigator of the NASA-sponsored Cosmic Data Stories program at Harvard. You can look at Cosmic Stories online. She's in Montpelier, Vermont. Alyssa.
Oh, actually, she went somewhere else. Alyssa,
oh, that's
did you
right.
Go somewhere
she
else?
Moved to
yeah,
get.
Yeah, I'm
to,
in Concord. I'm
that,
in Concord,
that's
Vermont.
Right. Concord, Vermont. You chased. What is it called? You're an umbrella, and a person.
Oh,
who,
yeah.
A person who chased.
I don't know.
What is it? What is it, Mike? And her. You're a number file. You chased. Chased the eclipse to Concord. More important, you're an astronomer. How would you wrap up today?
Well, I'd never seen a full solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse in my memorable life. And I'm almost speechless. Mm. I mean, the moment of totality when there was this super, super bright white ring around the outside just made me feel alive. And I now understand all those people who say it's worth it to to try to do this.
Yeah.
And honestly, I felt very connected to the other people who were standing around me, because everybody was standing there in this eerie light. And you could completely understand why people who didn't know what was going on in ancient times thought it was totally the end of the world.
Right. Mm. And we should say that the city of Boston is pretty empty, because everyone from the scientific community went with Alyssa and others up to New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. There is not a grad student in astronomy left in the city.
They left at 5:30 this morning, and it apparently did take them 6 hours to
and,
get out.
And what do they learn, Alyssa? We hear what you feel.
How lucky we all are to be astronomers. I mean, can you imagine that this is our job, to try to understand things like this? I mean, I just can't explain how happy it is when I think about, you know, that kind of time where people, I said to my friends who I'm here with, I said, it's so great to see so many people up here really caring about this and, you know, discussing on the side of the road here in the state park we're in, you know, what's a corona and what does the dog think of the corona? It's just amazing. It's great.
Okay. When you have the paper out on the dog and the corona, I'll read that first. I'm curious what your data will suggest. Let me go to Richard Harris here in this.
Richard, what was the little orange spot in the lower left of the sun? Was that actually a prominence? It was this very bright orange spot.
Well, you're the astronomer. But that was my guess. But
I might make stars once they form. Not that interested, but this is amazing.
Yeah, no, I was pretty sure I was seeing some pretty dramatic solar flares on the TV screen, because I've been in a windowless studio for the last almost 2 hours. But that it was really remarkable to see how much detail you could see along the edge of the sun.
Yeah, it may well have been a solar prominence, which would, you know, be throwing a huge amount of plasma, hot plasma, out into space. I'd be surprised that I could see that with the naked eye, but my friend standing here also saw, in addition to the white ring.
Yeah, supposedly you are able to see those during an eclipse. And as I mentioned to Scott earlier, this is, you know, we're near the maximum time of the solar cycle, so they're going to be more prominent than they would have been in 2017. Yeah. So
And Richard, you know, I mean, you filled us in on the science part of this and explain the intensity of the sun and what's happening. But step back for a moment. You've just heard people screaming and crying in parts of the country, struggling to put into words what they see. This is a moment for science. You've been a science journalist for so long. It's got to be an exciting moment for scientists who often are kind of, they can be invisible in our society.
It's true. And I think what it really does is it connects us so much. We don't see the stars anymore, most of us who live in urban areas. So you sort of lose track of where we are in the universe. And this is an incredible, visceral reminder of that. My brother, who's also an astronomer, also went off into Indiana to see if he could see it today also. And I'm interested to hear his report. And it wasn't because he's observing it as an astronomer. It's because he's a human being and he just wanted to experience it and feel it. And it's like, I sort of regret not having maybe tried a little harder to do it myself, although it's been a pleasure being with you for the last couple of hours.
We understand. And I have to say, we love when scientists geek out, so thank you both of you for doing that for us. But do you think, Alyssa, we only got a couple minutes here.
Sure.
You know, we're at a moment where this is a very fragile world. Do you think, I mean, we had all these children looking up. I mean, do you think it will maybe jumpstart a new kind of sense of, hey, maybe we better take better care of this? What is your hope?
I do, and I'm so glad you asked, because the Cosmic Data Storage Program that you asked about is for exactly that. It's to explain data science and how what we can learn from actual information is so important, not only about space, but also about the Earth. And so lots of school children actually saw this in person. Maybe some of them saw our app, but more importantly, they saw it in person. And they'll be inspired. And I have to say, my daughter, who's in her late 20s, that generation is super inspired to save us. And I think something like this that connects everybody in the U.S., you know, kind of all at once. And these kids who are super jazzed, I do think it'll have an impact. It'll be like, you know, Apollo was for me when I was 6 years old.
Quick last word to you, Richard. I mean, we kind of need the institution of science, don't we, when people question it?
Absolutely, we do. And I mean, this is an example. I mean, they had it down to the second when this was happening. And this wasn't just because people were rubbing sticks together. People have figured this out. They're using math. They are using the knowledge that's been gained over centuries and refining it all the time. And this is an example of being able to share that with the world and say, you can go to this place at this time, and clouds willing, you can have a fabulous experience.
Yeah, Richard Harris, thank you so much for joining me, joining us in the studio, filling it out. Thank you to Harvard astronomer Alyssa Goodman. Thank you to you.
Welcome.
Yeah. And I tell you, thank you, Scott, for that wonderfully insightful question there. And thank you, all of you, for going on this journey with us. Thank you for our crew who've been like taking calls from around the country.
Yes.
More to come this afternoon on All Things Considered. I'm Robin Young in Boston.
I'm Scott Tong in Washington, D.C.